I just had a lot of helpful suggestions. I was going to help him with his resume, and I was going to help him like get ready for his job interviews. I was going to help him learn how to load the dishwasher the right way, which is my way. And I was going to help him get dressed and like, oh, you're going to wear that to the party, right? And she said, whatever you think, I trust you. Oh, she thinks I'm capable. She thinks I'm smart. She thinks I can handle things. I'm listening. Your words are important. What you say is meaningful to me. I'm bearing witness. Just really think of respect as oxygen for my husband. Control and intimacy are opposites. And if I'm going to be controlling, then I'm going to lose the intimacy. And I can trigger his hero gene by receiving those gestures graciously.
Dear young married couple, you're in a busy season of your life. You're probably working and involved in ministry. On top of that, you might even be parents or students. You're maxed, but you really want to stay connected in your marriage.
And that's why we're bringing this podcast to you.
I'm Adam King.
And I'm Carissa King. And we work with busy couples just like you in our counseling office here in Sacramento, California. We also work with couples all over the world through online counseling. And our couples are really just looking for ways to communicate with each other more effectively. Some of them are looking to heal from a breach in trust or find direction in fulfilling the purpose that God has for them.
So come and join us as we have a conversation. We'll talk with therapists, authors, pastors, and other couples who will pour into us, giving us tools to become more intimately connected, get adventurous, and find purpose.
Welcome to the Dear Young Married Couple podcast. Today, I had the privilege to sit down with New York Times bestselling author Laura Doyle to talk about four scripts for having a deep conversation with your man. She is full of wisdom. She's been married for 32 years, and I'm excited for you to hear this conversation that we had today. It's just us girls, so if you're a man listening in, feel free to just turn this episode off and let the ladies tune in and take note. All right. Welcome, Laura, to the podcast. We're so excited to have you on today.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You have a wealth of information to share with the gals that are listening and any guys that are secretly listening too when they saw this title. So
they should stop listening right now. They just hang up.
But I know we get this question a lot, you know, women who say, how can I have a conversation with my husband and how can it be, more than surface? Like I can't tend to get him to talk about anything meaningful or he's so checked out. So you have four ways to share with us today for how to have a deep conversation with your man.
Yes. So
before we start with the first one, is there anything that we need to keep in mind or any broad umbrella before we dig into number one?
Well, just to say that, before this interview, you were just asking me like, well, what are your credentials?
Yeah.
And, I thought I was the perfect wife. I was sure that I was until I actually got married and then some problems started and,
sure.
It was not very long afterwards. It was like 7, 8, 9 years later that I had dragged my husband to marriage counseling because I thought, well, if she could just tell him to pay more attention to me and be tidier and also be more ambitious, then I can finally be happy. Cause I thought that was how it worked. And so that's not how it works. You know, so
a lot of women think that for sure.
I know. Right. So I guess I wasn't the only one, but, I just remember being on the counselor's slate gray couch when I thought this is hopeless. Like he's never going to change. And I'm either going to spend the rest of my life in a loveless marriage or else I'm going to have to get divorced. And so I decided I would get divorced because it just didn't seem like that's no way to live. Mm. But there was a problem in that I was too embarrassed to get divorced. People had been to the wedding not that many years before. Okay. I didn't want to have to give back the presents, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I'm going to ask, as a last-ditch effort, I'm going to ask women that have happy marriages what their secrets are.
Uh-huh.
And I thought they were going to say, well, you have to marry the right guy, first of all. And they didn't say that. They said things that I thought, well, this is great. This doesn't even make sense to me. What are they talking about?
Yeah.
But I decided to just experiment with those things. And if it worked, I kept it. If it didn't, I threw it out. And over time, I ended up with a set of principles, like skills, really, intimacy skills. And I started practicing. And I just remember it was not that long after I started using them that I walked through the door and my husband's face lit up because he was so happy to see me. And that had been gone. So I thought, wow, this is working.
Yes.
And I got a bunch of my friends to do it with me in the living room because frankly, I was having a hard time doing this stuff by myself because I had all these old habits. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that hard to do them. It was just new.
And you had to focus on it. You had to actually set your intentions to do the new skill.
That's exactly right. And without my girlfriends, like I just remember thinking like, oh, I better be respectful to him right now because I was telling them they have to be respectful. So they're kind of like, I felt like some moral obligation.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of helped me. Yeah. And before that I wasn't. Yeah. So anyway, those skills and those women that became my support group, that's what gave me the marriage I have now, where my husband just like grabs me at the waist and pulls me in for a kiss because I was passing him in the hallway. So we and he makes bedroom eyes at me and we just laugh together and have a lot of fun. So I'm just always so grateful that I was able to get that information from the women who had what I wanted.
Yes, that's so good. I love hearing the story, the background behind that. Yeah. And I like too that you had accountability. I think that's something a lot of women are so ashamed of, like the dynamics in their marriage or the negativity that's going on, that they don't want to connect with other women. Or if they do, it's just a bashing session. They're not actually trying to help each other and, you know, keep each other accountable for changing their marriage by changing themselves. And so I love that you took that approach because that's what worked.
You know what? It's funny you say that because I was all those things. I used to go out with my girlfriends and talk about how stupid and lazy men are, you know, just bash them. And that was not helping me get the marriage that I wanted. It felt like a release, but it really wasn't helping. And then I just, and the other part, you know, we would have like a big old fight in the car. We used to fight in the car all the time. I don't know what was going on there, but and then we'd like arrive at the party and we'd be like, oh, hi, everything's great. Yeah. You know, like we were putting on
the mask on.
Right. Yeah. We had the, you know, the Facebook photos, right. To show, but no one knew what was really going on in the bad old days. So I think
I'm sure so many women can relate that are listening. And how long have you been married now?
We're going to celebrate 32 years in September.
Congrats. So, that's thank awesome. Thank you.
It's like my proudest accomplishment in the world that I have great marriage with this man who's been dressing himself since before I was born. Like, I don't need to help him with that. So that's been helpful to find out. Yeah.
Oh, I love that represents so much for this conversation. I'm sure my husband has been dressing himself since before I was born. Oh, and for those of you who say, well, I'm older than my husband, so that's not true. He's been dressing himself since before you met him. So.
That's right. He might have started doing that when he was like 7 or 8, right? So he's been practicing for a while.
That's
by the time you got married, for sure.
That's good, Laura. So good. Okay, well, let's start in with number one. So the first way to have a deep conversation with your man.
So the first one is, and I think this is something like I certainly didn't realize. Fish are the last to know that they're in the ocean, right? You just think, what's all this wet stuff? But I think, I know for me, I was like too helpful. And I think a lot of women maybe can relate to this. Like I just had a lot of helpful suggestions. I was going to help him with his resume. And I was going to help him like get ready for his job interviews. I was going to help him learn how to load the dishwasher the right way, which is my way. And I was going to help them get dressed and like, oh, you're going to wear that to the party, right? I just had all this helpful advice. And unfortunately, my husband didn't want to be helped, right? Nobody really wants to be improved by their spouse. And that caused him to avoid me. And he was watching a lot of TV. Mm. And so the sad truth about what was going on here is he'd be watching TV and I would go over with my hands on my hips and say, you need to spend more time with me. You know, we haven't talked and you're just I mean, it just seems like you're avoiding me. You're just, all you do is watch TV. You watch too much TV. Mm-hmm. Had all these critical words for him. And so, so one of the things I had to do first before we could get to those deep conversations was, I call it getting off his paper. Like, there's my paper with all my decisions on it. There's his paper with all his decisions on it. My, my attitudes over here, right? Kind of like at school when you're a kid, right? You're doing your work on your paper, but you're looking over at somebody else's paper, maybe, right? Like, what are they doing? So, so, and the way that I did that was with this magical cheat phrase that I love that helped me kind of reestablish, like kind of undo some training that I'd given my husband early on, which, and the magical phrase is, whatever you think, whatever you think. So he would say, like, is this okay to wear to the party? You know, I'd be like, oh, whatever you think, right? Mm-hmm. That's newspaper. Or he'd say, like, do you think I should take the car in to get the brakes checked this week? Or maybe, can I want to wait till next week. You know, I'd be like, whatever you think, right?
Whatever
maybe
you think.
Those are brakes, buddy. You got to do that. You can't wait on breaks, right? Yeah. So I really haven't thought about it, but it's like, it was just my way of reminding myself, like, he's a competent, capable man. That's why I married him.
Yep.
And I trust him to take care of that.
And of course your tone mattered. Like, it, you're not rolling your eyes going like, whatever you think.
Whatever
like,
you think.
Yeah. No, you're being warm and kind.
Or I said, whatever you think. So that doesn't work either. That's probably not. But it was like a way of saying, I trust you. In fact, one of my students tells a story. Like, it was the very first thing she ever did when she got her hands on the six intimacy skills. Her husband came and said, what should I do with this cell phone plan? And she goes, whatever you think. And she's thinking, oh, he's probably going to screw it up, you know. But she decided she was going to just make this decision to choose her faith over her fear that he was going to mess it up. And he kind of looked at her funny, like, no. Like, I know I'm going to get in trouble later if I don't do this the right way. And he's like, no, I need you to tell me what you want me to do with the cell phone plan. Mm-hmm. And she said, whatever you think, I trust you. Ooh. So he went away and they've been sleeping in separate beds for 6 months. Their marriage was in big trouble. And he went away, and made his decision about the cell phone plan. And he did fine, by the way. And he came back and said, you know what? You were so nice tonight. And tears just ran down her cheeks. They slept in the same bed that very night.
Wow.
And that was...
Over
the one phrase.
Yeah.
You were so nice. That's what those were his words. So she was
and
like,
even though those were his words, and maybe that was the vocabulary he had, really, I think what that translated as is, you respect me. Because she said, I trust you. And
exactly.
Maybe it's about trust, but I think maybe... even deeper than that, it was like, she respects me. Like,
exactly.
I'm a person. My opinion matters and I'm capable. And every guy wants to feel capable.
They all do. And that is the interesting thing about respect. You really nailed it. And I think in some ways, I know for me, I didn't really understand what respect looked like. I'd be like, I was respectful. Like, I let him know where I'm going to be and I didn't leave a mess. And I heated up his dinner when he came home late or whatever. That has nothing to do with respect for them. Nope. It's about this kind of looking into our eyes and seeing reflected back like, oh, she thinks I'm capable. She thinks I'm smart. She thinks I can handle things. That's what respect means to them. So, so just bringing in that, whatever you think, went such a long way towards creating emotional safety.
Yes.
That had him want to open up to me again. So that it was huge. Yeah. Oh,
that's so good. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's number two, Laura? So
okay,
the
number
second
two,
way.
I've got another cheat phrase. I'm full of cheat phrases.
All right.
Which is kind of like, you know, when you teach kids to say please and thank you.
Uh-huh.
We're trying to teach them to have a grateful heart, right? When we teach them, oh, what do you say? When you say thankful. So I think of my cheat phrases the same way. I'm trying to put my heart right so I can show up to be the kind of wife I want to be. And so the second phrase is, and this is a great one to just experiment with. It's just three words and they are, I hear you. Mm-hmm. I hear you. So my husband he'll be talking about how, see, I'm even laughing as I'm telling you, but he's like, you know, I'd love, you know, now they're talking about go on Mars. People can take vacations to Mars. And he's like,
oh, yeah.
You know, I want to go to Mars. I would love to go to Mars. I think he'd be really excited to go to Mars. And I'm like, I hear you. I'm not agreeing and I'm not disagreeing, right? I'm going to contradict his thinking. Is my husband really going to go to Mars? Who knows? Not tomorrow, not the next week, right? Not right away. I don't feel like going to Mars myself or whatever. And it's kind of a long trip. But anyway, but the point is, I could just like let him dream. Uh-huh. And I don't, or like one argument we used to have in the battle days was, he'd be like, well, I think we should put like a second story on the house. Uh-huh. And I was like, a second story, like that would be like dirty, dusty. That'd be really noisy. It'd be so inconvenient. Like we don't know anything about, you know, adding on to, like, I uh-huh. don't like that. I don't know. I don't think so. Right. Uh-huh. I don't think yep. we should do that. And then we'd have this argument. Well, we didn't have any money to put a second story on the house. Like, that wasn't going to happen anyway. I just right. wanted to like, I want to shut him down right now. Uh-huh. Right. What was that out of? Again, it's like this fear that's underneath. And so anyway, so today I can just, I've, you know, been practicing using my faith by saying, I hear you. And what does it mean? It just means like, I'm listening. Your words are important. You know, what you say is meaningful to me. I'm bearing witness. And I don't have to argue with your thinking about it. In fact, I've got another, which is, so anyway, one of the things that we find is you could experiment with this phrase. Something a lot of my students do where like you just say, okay, for an hour tonight, I'm just going to be, I hear you, girl. And you just say only I hear you or uh-huh, not have you thought about this? Or maybe you should say to him, blah, blah, blah. Right. You just yeah. say, I hear you just for like an hour. Uh-huh. And oh my gosh, they're like, my husband had so much to say. Like when he feels like he's got the floor.
Right.
And you're not contradicting.
That's so good. And we tend to just shut our men down when we kind of discount their opinions or show how unrealistic it is or present all the barriers. And there may be a time for that. And they might ask you for that after you've validated their dream or their idea.
We'll be right back to the interview, but first we wanted to share something that we are really excited about.
So, you know, we all have those times where we don't feel super connected to our spouse and we really don't know what conversations to have to get us to that connected place. And then on top of that, we're so busy that we don't prioritize those conversations.
And that's why we created the monthly live date night.
And monthly live date night is every month on a Friday night for 90 minutes, 60 minutes. We focus on a topic that you guys pick. And then 30 minutes, we do a Q&A and it's live where we're all together asking questions and giving answers on topics related to your marriage, your intimacy. And we share tools. We have handouts that we call homework because we want you to be there to listen and to soak in, but we really want you to take action in your marriage too.
So come join us live for the next monthly live date night. Check the link in the show notes for dates and details.
All right, back to the interview.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting. You know, I have all these opinions and they're very important to me, but you know what? I don't know that my husband finds them that important too. So even when you're saying there's time afterwards, I'm like, well, I don't know. Sometimes it can be a trap, right? What do you think I should do about this situation at work? It's like, you know, I kind of tend to, you know, after being so controlling for so many years, it just really felt like I unburdened myself by not only trusting him, ensuring that I respected him, but not putting it on my shoulders to try to solve problems that are not directly mine.
Which they're not on your paper, like you
they're
said.
They're not on my paper. And how can I ever really solve a problem that's not on my paper? You know, I can't. And I think I know, but do I know? I don't think
so. Would you say this rule of like, kind of just letting him know that you hear him and like not giving your opinion at all, would you say that rule applies more so in like idea phase? For instance, the second story house thing, right? Say you did have the money and you guys actually did talk about building onto your house and you guys needed to make some joint decisions because it wasn't going to be all one person's decision. And he really did want your opinion.
Yes.
Like at that point, would you say like, that's a green light, like go ahead and chat about it.
Yes. And so that leads us to step number three,
which is
the cheap phrase.
Okay.
gosh, I'm just full of these cheat phrases. All right. So
I love it.
They're really great. So, and I want to just kind of preface it by explaining the embarrassing thing that I used to do instead of using this cheat phrase, which was, I would say to my husband, John, I would say, John, this kitchen is a disaster area. And I thought, he would then jump up off the couch and start doing the dishes and cleaning up the counters. But that never happened. So, and I didn't know why. I think maybe looking back, like he could probably hear John, you know, blah, 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 or whatever, like Peanuts parents or something.
Yes.
So I don't think he could even hear me. And I feel sad for that earlier version of myself. Well, actually, there's an even more embarrassing story. One time we went to Hawaii. He took me to Hawaii.
Okay.
And we were pretty new. We're pretty new at the, you know, so this is like right mm-hmm. after we met. And he said, I was excited to go to the beach that day. I thought, mm-hmm. oh boy, we're going to go to the beach. And he got up and said, hey, I was thinking we should go see a volcano. And so I said, oh, okay. Like, I don't want there to be any conflict. You know, we're just this mm-hmm. newlywed couple. So mm-hmm. I said, oh, well, how about, I'm like, okay, yeah, we'll go see a volcano. I'm like, I'm mm-hmm. just going to suck it up and I'll go see it with them because I don't want to cause a conflict. And if I disagree, that's maybe we're going to have a fight. I just don't want that.
Okay.
So we get in the car and we're driving towards the volcano. And for a long time, you'd see no volcano. You just are driving in the car and there's like maybe molten rocks on the side of the road. So I start to get upset and I'm like, and he says, is, you know, something wrong? And I'm like, yeah, did you think this would be fun? I don't think it's fun at all. I think it's really stupid because I want to go to the beach. You didn't even ask me what I wanted to do. This is, you know, so he saw a volcano, all right, right? So sadly, I had no idea how to just express, I call it expressing my desires in a way that inspires him. Mm. He just wanted me to be happy. And even after that, after I behaved so badly, he took me to the beach. Because that's when he knew what I wanted.
Yeah.
So the third cheat phrase is expressing your desires in a way that inspires. So we were discussing like adding on to the house, then it would be incumbent on me to know what I wanted and to express it in the positive, not in the negative, right? Yep. So the negative would be like, I don't want to add a second story. I don't want to be under construction. I don't want all that dirt, right? That's still complaining.
Just shooting down his ideas. Yeah.
Right. I'm shooting down his ideas. So the positive might be, so funny story, here we are all these years later, we're actually in a major, major remodel right now.
Okay.
And I'm talking to you from our apartment that we moved to while we're remodeling.
Okay.
So I could say like, I would love to have quiet and cleanliness while we're under construction. And that's exactly what I did.
Nice.
My husband said, okay, we'll go rent an apartment for the 6 months that we're going to be under major, major remodel.
So you painted a picture of what you want rather than stating what you don't want.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want a quiet place to work and to have this interview and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So the more I say what it is I would love, and it's like big things and little things, right? It's like, what do you want for dinner? Like, oh, I want Mexican. And you know, we go to the Mexican restaurant. It's like, oh, I want a booth. And then he's having all these opportunities to be my hero.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I got her Mexican. She loves Mexican. She's so happy. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because I've asked now thousands of men, I'll say, how important is it to you that your wife is happy? Mm-hmm. Do you know they have all said the same thing? They say, oh, it's everything, or it's the most important thing. Or in the UK, they say it's imperative. So pretty important.
Yeah.
To them. And my husband's no exception. I didn't think he cared about my happiness, but when I was being disrespectful and controlling and just complaining, and he didn't know how to make me happy because I wasn't particularly pleasable, that was overshadowing his desire to make me happy.
To make you happy. Because he just wanted to withdraw. There was a negative association with that interaction.
I was kind of a porcupine wife, if I'm honest. Yeah.
I think we've all been there for sure.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So when you say express your desires in a way that inspires, and I'm getting you like to paint this picture of what you want. Do you have any phrases that you, or stems that you would give for people
I'm
to
so
use?
Glad you reminded me because I forgot to give you the formula. So here it is. This is how I like to say it. I say, I would love, because love attracts love. I would love. And then it's the final outcome. And what I mean by that is, like, I remember I had this one student, she said, well, I would love for him to make more money. Right. And that's kind of on his paper again. We're back over. And it's like, well, what would you have that you don't have now if he made more money? She goes, well, I could buy myself things. And things is still kind of a little vague. Right. So yep. I was like, well, what would you buy yourself? And she said, well, I really need new boots. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So what she would love was new boots, right? And there's just no need to go into how it happens. Uh-huh. Because when you get into the, you do this and here's how, you're just right back into control. You're right back on his paper and your life is going by without, mm-hmm. yeah. And in some ways, right, she wasn't really aware. I mean, on some level, she knew she wanted new boots, right?
Yeah.
But in some ways, I think we, you might think to yourself, oh, I really want those new boots. And then you think, oh, but that's kind of indulgent, or maybe we can't afford those, or
my husband doesn't make enough money.
He doesn't make enough money. You talk yourself out of them.
Yeah.
It's not him that's stopping you from getting those new boots in some cases, right?
So, and if you just stated it, he might be like, oh, good, because I'm working that hour of overtime and I can like put that away and surprise her. Yeah.
Or he might say, well, take the money from the tax refund, or right? You just never know.
Yep.
And there's just so much. I always think of desire as the seat of feminine power, because that's like the North Star for our relationship. Mm. He navigates according to what I would love. Why are we remodeling this house? You know, my husband, his joke is he's like, I'd be happy with a cot and a locker, but no, we're going to get a kitchen with Carrera marble and I'm getting a pool.
Right? Cause that's like, what you want.
That's
yeah.
what I want.
Uh-huh.
That's what I want. He just wants me to be happy.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So express your desire in a way that inspires and use that phrase, I would love blank. And that blank is the final outcome.
Exactly. You're like, you nailed it.
Very it requires good. Some intentionality, ladies who are listening. This is something you can't just like say on a whim in the middle of an argument. You got to pause and think that through.
And you can start internally, not externally, but internally mm-hmm. with a complaint. You could be like, I never get what I want, right? Like that might be your first thought.
Sure.
Right? Like everybody's needs comes first, the kids and then, you know, whatever, right? The house, everything else. You could start with that and you'd be like, oh, wait, what is it that I want? Like, I want a getaway weekend with no kids or whatever, right? Like you can start by with like just kind of paying attention to that little complaining voice inside. And then just like really asking, what would make you feel happy? Mm-hmm. What would take care of that?
Yeah. What's the final outcome? That's good. Okay. Take us to number four, Laura.
All right. Well, and this one is kind of back to where we were saying about how I didn't really know what respect looked like. I think if you would have asked me, you know, I would have said, I totally respect him, except for the way he drives and what he drives, you know, what he wears and like, you know, whatever. Right. Like I just was a little, and so, these days, I just really think of respect as oxygen for my husband. Mm. And I think of it as, it's kind of like in that movie, The Princess Bride, where he was saying, as you wish, but what he really meant was, I love you. And when I am speaking respectfully, that's me saying to my husband, I love you, in a way that he can hear bigger than if I just say, I love you, even. Mm. So the cheap phrase that I like to use is, and it felt like sand in my mouth the first time, but now I love it. But it's just a hard one for women to try on. But it's, I apologize for being disrespectful when I, and then you throw in this specific thing.
Yep.
And I'll give you an example of this. We were out to dinner. My husband took me out to a swanky restaurant on a Saturday night, and we're there just having a good time. And and he was saying something about his business. And he mentioned this one client, and I made a critical comment about the client. And the way he heard it, and rightly so, in retrospect, was me trying to say, like, don't give preferential treatment to that client. Like, that's not, you shouldn't, you know, let me tell you, let me give you a little advice about how to run your business that you've had for 20 years. And so immediately I said this comment, and all of a sudden my husband's face gets like kind of like you know, he looks a little like, what just happened? And the music stops and all the waiters stop and all the laughter stops. And like our dinner has just come to a screech. Our nice dinner has come to a screeching halt. And I was like, oh, and I wasn't feeling very accountable yet. So mm-hmm. I just said, oh, because I've been doing this for a while now, like 20 years. I go, was that disrespectful? And he goes, yes. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, I go, I apologize for being disrespectful when I criticized your client. So now I'm fully there, right? Now I'm being totally accountable.
Okay.
And all of a sudden my husband's like, okay. He's like, thank you. He says, thank you whenever I apologize for being disrespectful. And it doesn't matter. Like I could mumble it. I can whisper it. Like he's all like, thank you.
Okay.
And then the good time is back. The music starts up and the waiters are flying and the conversation, like our good time was back. Like the night was salvaged.
You restored it. You guys were able to do a quick repair.
I did a quick repair.
By apologizing. Yeah. And you have to mean it. You have to be genuine about it, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it did take me a minute to get there, right? But it's like, I mean, especially, you know, I had time to process it now. It's like, why do I think I need to comment on his client of his business he's run successfully for all these years? I don't, right? That's just me being on some little trip, right? Letting my fear be stronger than my faith, which I get to choose, but you can only, you know, control and intimacy are opposites. And if I'm going to be controlling, then I'm going to lose the intimacy. And if I want the intimacy, I got to relinquish that inappropriate control that comes out of my fear.
Wow. Ladies, if you didn't hear anything else, tune into that statement that you just made. Laura, control and intimacy are opposites. Ooh, and then everything you said after that I can't like repeat. That was so good.
Yeah. That was a big insight for me too. I mean, that was the one thing I did get from counseling was we were there and she's like, I don't know if you realize but you're kind of controlling. And I was like, you know, the record's like, roop, roop, you know, like what? We're here to fix him, you know? What do you mean? Oh, man. I'm controlling. Mm-hmm. But sadly, you know, I don't think she knew how to change. I remember saying like, okay, I'm controlling. What should I do? And I don't think she knew either. She's like, yeah, just, you know, don't be so controlling. And I was like, that was no help at all because it was my way of life. It was, I don't know, I'm an oldest child. So I'm just was very, I think my whole language was developed around, okay, you go stand over there. Okay, we're going to play restaurant. Okay, you're going to, all right, that's not how you treat him or whatever.
Yeah, I think charge and it probably served you well in different seasons of life, but in your marriage, we are to be a team. We're not taking charge of each other.
No. Yeah. And especially, I think, and it seemed super old fashioned to me when I first started talking to those wise women that gave me the insights that I used to change my marriage and that now tens of thousands of women have used to change their marriages too and make them better, save their marriages really. I didn't realize that. I mean, I was really stuck on like that we're equal and we're the same. And if we're not equal and the same, then we're going to lose out in the work world, right? Because people are going to think we're not as good at certain things or whatever.
And like the whole feminism movement. Yeah.
And what I really came to see was like, oh my gosh, I have these special gifts as a woman that the world needs, my marriage needs. And that if I honor them, like it's just so, there's so much more of a harmonious existence for me because that's the way God made me, right? Is to be feminine. And I don't think I even understood what that meant or like why. And here, like today I see my husband showing up with so much of a servant's heart, so much. Like he just, like he didn't really want me to move any of the boxes. Like he just wanted to move every box for me, right? Because and he wants to kill, he'll kill all the scary spiders. Like he just really, and he loves that.
Yeah, it's he wants to be your hero.
He wants to be my hero. Yeah. And I can trigger his hero gene today by receiving those gestures graciously instead of maybe saying like, I can carry them too, or I, you know, I'm independent, right? I don't need any help or I've got it, right? Or even just like with compliments, you know, he would, I'd wake up in the morning and he'd say like, oh, you look so beautiful. I'm like, you know, shut up, right? Like, no, I know. Yeah. I'd argue with him. and just not even receiving that compliment was kind of coming up the works.
Yeah, we've seen that happen. Yeah, in session so many times where like the husband wants his wife to know like how beautiful he thinks she is or how capable she is or, you know, just complimenting her and she won't receive it.
She won't receive it, right? Yeah. So that was that's a whole nother aspect, which I know doesn't go into this four things we're talking about today, but the art of receiving graciously, compliments, help, gifts, right? What about gifts? Like, don't buy me flowers because it's a waste of money, right? I mean, I've said things and I've seen my students have said things or like, oh, this isn't the right kind of jewelry that I wanted, right? Like we can kind of miss the gift of his thoughtfulness and his love by getting kind of fixated on like something you could have just gone to the mall and bought yourself or ordered from Amazon or whatever, right? If you want the perfect thing, there's a way to get that too, right? But this is, there's always something to receive.
That's good. Yeah. Wow. Well, Laura, this has been so good. And I think, ladies, if you listened to this while you were folding laundry or driving on your commute and you didn't take notes, listen again and take notes and then put it into practice. Maybe even write the four ways as like a note on your phone and screenshot it so that you see that often in your on your desktop background or something. Because these are such good reminders, but if we don't put them into practice, then it'll just be a thought. So man, Laura, thank you so much for sharing these four scripts with us. Really, they're scripts. Maybe we'll change the title to that. Four scripts for having a deeper conversation with your man.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're all part of those six intimacy skills. In which, they've just been so life-changing, marriage-changing, dignity restoring, for me and so many thousands of women all over the world now.
Right. And it's so interesting when you restore dignity for yourself and you and these other women are doing that as well. You're restoring dignity in your marriage and your man feels like dignity has been restored for him too.
I mean, absolutely. He loves it. But even just for me, I mean, it's so nice not to hear myself shrieking or sounding like my mother on her worst day, like all the time. Right. So it was, it was really good for self-confidence and self-esteem to find a new way to, but much more effective and pleasant way to have the marriage that I dreamed I would have when I stood at the altar and said, I do.
That's right. Well, Laura, we want to share some resources with folks. So if you could let us know a little bit first about the two books that you have. I mean, 20 years ago, you had a New York Times bestseller book and then you have a new book. And so share with us a little bit more about The Surrendered Wife and The Empowered Wife.
Well, sure. Yeah. So we are celebrating the 20th year of empowering wives to be ridiculously happy in their marriages. And that's even if it feels like your marriage is hopeless. These are the steps that create lasting marriage. And so, The Surrendered Wife is always near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. I love it. But gosh, so many women had trouble with that title because they thought that it meant like subjugated wife, like obedient wife, you know?
Okay.
And, but to me, surrendered is just a beautiful spiritual phrase. It's like, if you're driving in traffic, you might wish it would move, but you can't make it move. Right. So you could decide like, I'm going to listen to music I love, or I'm going to talk on the phone or listen to an audiobook or a podcast. And I'm going to make the most of that time. And the surrendered
wife
that.
Yeah.
That's right. You're surrendered to that. And a surrendered wife just knows that she can't change or improve her husband. So she doesn't try. Instead, she focuses on her own happiness. And that in turn improves the intimacy in the relationship.
Okay.
But what we found was like the results of the surrendered wife were that she felt more empowered in her marriage. Like she felt like, okay, instead of just endlessly trying to get him to do things and he's not doing them, or he's not helping with the kids, or I'm the only adult in this relationship, she felt much more empowered. So the new book is called The Empowered Wife. Okay. And it lays out the six intimacy skills and all the cheat phrases that go along with them.
Nice.
And, but we also, I also have a really nice free resource available right now. Pretty fun thing. It's called The Adored Wife Roadmap.
Okay.
And it just kind of lays out the steps and also the three mistakes that everybody seems to be making trying to get their husband's time, attention, and affection.
Okay.
So, and you can get
and
that.
And we'll link that in the show notes as well. What you were going to say where it is though.
Sure. It's at lauradoyle.org.
Okay.
At lauradoyle.org. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. I'm sure a lot of people will go and download that. That'll be helpful. And then we will link both of your books in the show notes. So if you're listening and you're like, I want to grab those books, you can go down to the show notes and click on that to find her book. And you can also connect with Laura on Facebook. You can connect on Twitter. That's Laura M. Doyle. And on LinkedIn. And then she already shared her website, lauradoyle.org. So any other resources that you would recommend, Laura, for this topic?
Well, we also have the Empowered Wives podcast. Yeah. Where every week I interview a woman who has taken her marriage from what seemed like broken and hopeless to, I'll let you hear them tell what it's like now. But to paraphrase Thomas Wolfe, miracles not only happen, they happen all the time.
Aww. Good. Okay. So we'll link your podcast as well. Great. Well, Laura, we're going to close by asking you the question that we ask all of our guests when we close. And that is, rewind back to those first couple years of marriage. You've been married 32 years now. So going back three decades, think about the advice that you wish you would have received. And then you'll do Dear Young Married Couple and fill in the blank.
Well, dear young married couple, I'd like to speak to just the wife because that's me, right? That's the experience that I have to share.
Yep.
And I think my biggest thing that I would love to empower her, say to her, dear young wife, married wife, I would love to encourage you to really think about what you want. In fact, how about a daily list of big and small things that you would love, things that would make you happy, and encourage you to say them out loud without expectation. Can't always get what you want, but knowing what you want is it's a heck of a start in making your marriage magical.
That's good. Thank you so much, Laura. Man, well, this has been so helpful, and I'm looking forward personally to this airing so that we can see all the people who say, man, I tried this and it worked. So thank you so much, Laura. It's been such an honor to have you on the podcast. And I'm personally also looking forward to digging into your material.
Oh, thank you so much. This has really been fun to be on the show.
Oh, thank you, Laura.
All right, friends. We really hope that you got a ton out of today's conversation. And if you want help, if you want personal guidance with individual counseling or couples counseling, or even help with you as a couple reaching the goals you have, just reach out. Give us a call at 916-678-1797 or shoot us an email at hello@dearyoungmarriedcouple.com.
No matter where you are in the world or in your marriage, we can set up a counseling session with you and we can work toward progress. We also post marriage advice regularly on our Instagram, which is @dearyoungmarriedcouple. And we'd love for you to join us in conversation there. All right. See you next week.
Ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.